What's up, everybody? Welcome to another show. I'm Bobby.
This is Chi.
And I'm the prima donna that shows up late and makes everybody sad. And there's logic.
Otherwise known as Emilio. All right.
It's not really sad. It's that crankiness when you're tired, but you know you have to stay awake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the feeling on a Monday night.
Do you have to get up early, too?
No, I was just up late and up very early today and hungover. Yesterday was officially my boyfriend's 30th birthday, so definitely celebrated in style. And then today's the day after, so forgive me if I'm a little just out of it.
It's fine.
Well, hangovers last 48 hours for me now. They're not. I'm getting old, guys.
Well, let me introduce you to a quick and fun trip. One weird trick to get over hangovers. You start drinking again. The trick is to only drink 1/25. No, I'm sorry. A 25% of what you did the night before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or don't drink. You know, that works too.
Nah.
All right. So, yeah, we're recording this on Monday, the day before the episode comes out. Very late for us, but it's been a busy weekend. We went to BlizzCon. We'll talk all about that soon. But before we get into it, shout outs to some new Patreons.
Yeah. So, our email had been fucked up, but it was even more fucked up than I thought because I usually have everything forwarded to my regular one. It doesn't matter. Anyway, all these weeks that we've been saying nobody's been hooking us up, people have been hooking us up, which is nice. So thank you very much to Tammy.
Tammy is actually my big sister, by the way. Thank you, sister. I love you. Thank you for supporting the podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much. There is Sotre, Anthony, Jimmy, Derek, C. Sniper. And Clown Lotion, I think, upgraded or used it. I don't know. I think he has a, he pays with prepaid visas, so they run out, and then he has to put another one on. Hmm. I'm just
shady.
Making that up.
Understandable. Thank you very much. We love you all.
Yeah. Thank you for the support. And Clown Lotion will be joining us next month in person.
Yeah, that's true. Not next month. Next week. Yeah.
Next week? That soon?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to go this whole month without working a weekend.
I don't know if I'll have that energy.
You won't have to. I think I'm going to take that boy to Mexico. You ready to go to Mexico?
Yeah, drain him.
All right.
And also, should we go a second week on the Destiny 2 or should we just give it away, Bobby? What do you think?
We announced it last week. I think people have had enough time to do it. We promoted it in the Discord, so I think everyone's had a fair shot.
Okay. I think 10 new reviews, which is pretty good for us. We have more than PC Gamer, which is awesome. They are both our, comrades and, arch rivals. So yeah, thank you. And, if you still haven't, you're forever entered. So even if you win, you can win right after. So just, even if it's too late, I mean, we're doing this on Monday, so chances are I'm not going to get through this by Wednesday. I won't give it away till Wednesday, so you still have time.
Yep. All right, let's talk about some games. So games that we've noticed that have come out recently, or we just happen to notice them now that we're interested in. The game that I picked was Rock God Tycoon. I never know what to think of these games, these simulation games. There's, you know, what's that one where you... something capitalist. I can't remember. It's free to play one. There's one on like the movie industry.
Venture capitalist.
Yeah. Venture capitalist. Like, you know, where you start a business and it's a sim game. Well, this one, Rock God Tycoon, it's like that, except you are starting a band and I guess you go on tour, you define what your budget is, you buy instruments, you practice. Like, I don't know. Like what was the boxing one that was so good that I really liked?
Punch Club.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if anything will ever be better than that. But for $11, I don't know. Rock God Tycoon kind of looks good.
And there's a lot more graphics in this game than there are usually in simulations. At least that's what it looks like.
I don't think I would ever want to play a music game if it wasn't actually a game where you're making music.
Is there music, Bobby? Do you know?
I mean, I imagine there's some elements of music in the game. But it's a management game.
It's like in boxing.
It's a sim management game.
Yeah. Doing the boxing.
Bobby likes Sims. He likes to work hard when he's supposed to be playing.
I see how it's appealing on for a sim because it's the first of its kind, really, for a musical simulator/management, because maybe when you see the anything with the name rock or anything in it, you just think of Rock Band, Guitar Hero, and or even, wasn't there a game called Guitar Smith where it was an actual guitar that you played? And but of course they throw in the word tycoon, so then you're like, oh, okay, so this is different.
Well, the tycoon games I think are kind of a genre at this point. I mean, maybe even going back to Roller Coaster Tycoon, like where you just have these management games. So there's one that I always wanted to play and I keep forgetting to, about the movie industry, like you make your own production studio. There's also one that I don't think is very good, but got a little bit of attention because it's on the porn industry. So you create your own pornography and build an empire like that. I can't remember the name of it, but it should be pretty easy to find.
I do that shit all the time already.
So Rock God Tycoon, that's what I'm going with. What else we got here?
Bomber Crew is a simulator. No, well, you take a crew of different characters into basically like a dogfighting thing. It's kind of what it reminded me of as, ugh, Jesus, cried, war vomit. All right. It's kind of like FTL, but it's more action-packed from what I can tell. When you lose a crewmate, it's permadeath, so you're not going to get that dude back, but even though you build that guy up. So maybe a little bit of like XCOM in there, where you build your crew, you go on this huge flying fortress type vehicle, fight a bunch of other stuff, got to protect your guys. And I kind of get the sense that it's one of those things where, like, what is it? Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, where, you know, you have to do five things, but you only have three hands. That's how these games get off. Like, you have not enough resources to manage what needs to be done. And
so you're definitely going to be losing a man in the crew, so don't get attached.
Could be. I mean, hopefully it's not as severe as like Darkest Dungeon, where like it just wipes your crew continuously over and over. But
you're not even the same main character anymore at that point.
Hopefully the most people, most of your guys make it through. And I mean, it's got a 9 out of 10 on Steam. So I think it's worth checking out. Sorry, guys. It's late on a Monday. I worked all day. Cheese kicked me in the face as soon as I walked in. And Bobby is still recuperating from having a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Well, his first fun weekend this year.
We'll get a little more excited once we hit the BlizzCon topic.
Yeah, once we start talking about BlizzCon, that's going to be exciting. But before that, let's go ahead and check out my game recommendation. My game recommendation for the week, which is called Wanderlust. Wanderlust is essentially a walking simulator game. It's available for $7.99 on Steam, recently released just November 1st. With this game, there's nothing to it, really, other than walking around in awe of the amazing visuals. There are different worlds, and apparently you're a character who has an addiction to drugs. And as you are maneuvering through these worlds, you could depict them in any way that you so choose. But you're simply just walking around, admiring both the soundtrack and the scenery. And there are some really good worlds on here.
Awesome.
And if you read any of the reviews, they basically say this is screenshot worthy. And your background and screensaver will be thanking you for it, because it's just a beautiful game in certain moments. But it is short and probably not worth the full value of $7.99. So get it on sale. But it is a brand new game. If you're big into games that have no challenge at all, it's simply a walking simulator. For me, looking at this game, it reminded me, I believe last week when I was talking about Destiny 2, I said there's way too much environment, way too much to look at. It's too pretty, and it's wasting my time just trying to run through it.
Right.
This is, if you took that, like a beautiful MMO with multiple worlds, and you just took out all of the gameplay, all you're doing is just walking around.
Yeah,
so
enjoying it.
That's what Wanderlust.
Let me tell you guys, I've done a lot of drugs, and a lot of it looks like me when I'm on a lot of drugs. Like, it looks like you're on drugs. That's exactly what it looks like. But it was not a bad thing. It looks pretty fucking sweet. I'd play it.
Yeah, it's a short game.
You'd be the second person to play it, apparently.
After Chi.
Don't you know I love recommending video games that
she's the only
don't one. Have much of a...
That's where we're at. We're looking for the diamonds in the rough. I love that she's so tired she found the easiest game possible. She's
exactly.
Like, this is appealing to me.
This is a game that I would play right now just because I would barely be able to lift a finger, just walk through the world. It would be a good game for insomniacs, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Damn, it looks sweet.
Very colorful. All right. Anybody switching sides? I'm sticking with my rock god Tycoon.
Fuck no. You know what? I'll go with Wanderlust.
Woohoo! All right. I would go with Wanderlust too, just because it's totally my mood. It's my mood right now.
How can I play a game I can't even describe? I'm a fucking terrible podcaster.
It's cute. War-torn skies. It's pretty darn cute. Bomber Crew.
Yeah, so I like the graphics, the 3D graphics. All right, so without further ado, let's talk about BlizzCon. So we were lucky enough to be able to get tickets and attend this event. It was on Friday and Saturday, only a two-day event. I could have swore it used to be 3 days. It feels like it needs to be a three-day event.
Yeah,
but I've got to say, just right off the bat, this is the nicest convention I've ever been to, like the most upscale, like the most... the highest production value. Like, you know, in Jurassic Park where John Hammond is always like, we spared no expense. Like, that was this place.
Yeah. And on top of that, they weren't trying to... they're not trying to make a killing, I don't think. They could have packed in 20% more people and it would have been like E3. But no, you can comfortably walk wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
Once you get there, you're going to have to wait. There's lines everywhere. But in between the lines, there's no lines. At E3 or any other convention I've been to, it's just like shoulder bumping.
Shoulder, yeah.
Here, you're it gets walking
pretty,
free.
Yeah. You know, packed sardines and a lot of other
exactly.
conventions.
Well, it was at the Anaheim Convention Center, which is huge. And they were using up all of it, like the whole convention center. Like, it was giant, and it didn't seem like they overbooked it. So there was plenty of room to move around, and every line that I waited in was not that long.
And I'm not saying that they didn't sell out. They sold out. I'm saying they keep their numbers manageable where people can actually have a good time.
Yeah. Well, they've done it so many years, they've got to have it down just to make it the best possible experience. Mm-hmm. And everything was just so packed, too. You went to any of the areas where they're doing esports. Like, one of the things I didn't like was all the esports happen at the same time. It's a two-day event. I guess you got to do it. But you're not going to see everything at BlizzCon. You're going to miss so much. I mainly watched Heroes Esports, and I missed so much that was happening. I dipped into other places, but even when I went to go check out something else, I'm missing like grand finals, semifinals, like important games for Heroes Esports. So like it, I don't know. I wish it was a 3-day event and there was an opportunity to do more stuff without missing things, but still like it was amazing. And each of those esport areas were completely packed. Like, especially when it got down to the grand finals, just every seat in the house taken.
Yeah.
Were they first come first serve seats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I were to wrap up the whole thing in one word, it would be professional. I was very impressed, again, what Bobby said, by production value. And I'm 39 as fuck. And it takes a lot to impress me these days. I've seen just about everything. There was times there where I was like in awe, literal awe.
Yeah. I think when I first walked into the arena that they were doing the Overwatch games in, I was really amazed at that. I mean, it was like a hockey or a basketball court where, you know, you have the court in the middle and then the seats off to the sides and the seats kind of go upward higher and higher.
Very hockey-esque, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. And the Overwatch team was down there and just giant screens, like just screens like 20 feet long wrapping around the players. Like, it looked so futuristic, so clean. And then everything, like you said, was just so professional. Like, if I had any doubt about the future of esports or Blizzard or anything like that, of like video games being taken seriously, like seeing all that stuff just totally does away with it.
The other thing about it is that it's the people. The people are awesome. The cosplay is on a different level. Basically, you don't even show up with a shitty rig. Like, if you're half-assed, it's either you don't come or you're kind of ashamed, because everybody's on another fucking level.
They're all tryhards at BlizzCon.
For sure, because there's I think the grand prize is like a pretty hefty prize. Like 3,000 or 4,000.
Yeah, it's a good amount of money. Now, did you see the grand prize winner?
I did. I saw him before I had seen it. And I thought a lot of these were paid by Blizzard. And apparently, they weren't.
Yeah. So, something I saw on Reddit before I even got there was a working Probius model. Now, Probius is a probe from StarCraft. It's a, you know, when they take a generic unit from StarCraft and then they give it like a name and a personality, like that's what they did. Like they have the barbarian from Diablo, but in Heroes of the Storm, they call her Sonya and they give her more of a character. So Probius is the probe from StarCraft, and someone had a working model of that. Like this thing was like buzzing around on like little wheels and making the noises. Like it was
awesome.
Pretty cool.
Collecting minerals.
Yeah,
like 100%. I thought it was a BlizzCon thing. Because the thing must have cost, because it was controlled by an Xbox controller. It was on like a remote control rig, but like we're gonna say a electric wheelchair, but it didn't look like that. Like it, when you look at it, you see Probius and it's flying around basically.
That was awesome. Very well done. It was like movie quality. Now the, our first experience with the cosplay was we were walking up, going to registration to get our badges. And we saw Reaper from Overwatch. And Amelia, what'd you say? You told him his shoe was fucked up or something like that?
Yeah, so his shoe was fucked up. And I'm feeling like he has so much equipment that he can't feel that his shoe is fucked up. So I'm like, hey, man, your buckle came off the back of your shoe. He's like, I love this. Because he stayed in character. He's like, yeah, I know. Like he's bummed out, but he's still a badass motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know?
He didn't even do it justice. So like, there was like a downturn at the end of, I know. He's like, yeah, I know. Yeah. Like,
he was waiting for somebody to like come and save him.
But yeah, when we parked, there was a girl getting out of her car and putting on her cosplay. And she was a pylon from StarCraft, which she had this large ring that went around her. So a pylon's like a crystal with like a metallic, like a gold ring going around it. Yeah. So like the gold ring she had to bring out of the car. But yeah, the cosplay was just intense. So first place was Hogger. And when I saw that, I looked it up, the person who had won. And I just like Googled it and I found her Instagram, and she had cataloged her making this thing for like, I don't know, months or however long it took her. And crazy, incredible process. Just like it showed her first making like the mouth and the teeth. And then it looked so good. It looked like something out of a Jim Henson movie.
Yeah, it was that level. Did you see the actual costume contest?
Bob? No, I was probably watching Heroes Esports.
No. I mean, I watched it last night on YouTube.
Yeah. That's how I saw it.
Oh, that's what I was asking. Anyway, who's the guy that was the host?
Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, I was surprised to see him there.
It was so funny. He's like, hey, can you tell me how you made this? And she's like, just shook her head. Like, I can't do shit in this thing, dude.
Yeah. You know the guy who really couldn't move around was the guy in the Jim Raynor suit, like the full armor. Like
it
that guy
so
was
awkward.
Just walking so slowly. I'm like, God, it looked great. It looked like perfect. Like,
except for when he moved.
Yeah, it was pretty slow.
So what I didn't know, Bobby, so we went and watched the UFC afterward because I made you. And the Ronda Rousey was actually at BlizzCon, in full cosplay.
Really?
with her husband, who's 6'8", and they were both dressed as Death Knights, but I didn't see them. Like, I saw the costumes.
Mm-hmm.
But she, not just her, but there's been a slew of like famous people that go to these things in cosplay, which is kind of a nice thing. Yeah.
I mean, for not like huge celebrities, but it's so weird to like walk the floor of BlizzCon and you see all the people that you watch on YouTube that I watch on YouTube and that whose streams I watch and who I watch play competitive esports. I saw so many people, like all the big streamers, all the big players, saw some of them in line at the HOTS demo when I was doing that, saw some of them when I was walking outside.
That's normal, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's always
like... Did you get any type of, what's it called, when you see a celebrity and you go into
craze
mode? What is it called?
I forget what it's called. God damn it. Starstruck.
Yeah, starstruck. Yeah. The only time I've ever been starstruck was when I saw Busta Rhymes. I was so nervous. I couldn't. He was 2 feet away from me, and he was standing there forever. He was actually shopping at the GameStop I worked at. And I was so nervous. I couldn't say, "Hey, yo, Busta." I just really froze. I was so starstruck. He was really damn short, though. And most celebrities.
2 feet away, that's within his dread range. You got to watch out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's dangerous.
He didn't look like he was in a good mood, and he wasn't even shopping. He was buying something for somebody else who was doing the actual shopping. So he was just the walking mm-hmm. wallet.
And that's what I said before we went to BlizzCon. I'm like, I'm going to see so many people that I know and be like, oh, wow, they're shorter than I thought. Because that's always the comment. But it was the case with most of the people that I saw. Or some of them were like, holy shit, those dudes are skinny as fuck. But the one guy that I saw that I was like, god damn, that guy's taller than I thought was the Heroes of Fitness. They're a couple, actually. There's the guy and the girl. They play Heroes of the Storm in PUBG and other games. And then, like, between rounds, they do workouts. They answer questions in chat about nutrition and stuff. It's a great stream. Heroes of Fitness. Check it out.
I
saw them together, and the dude was, like, way taller than I thought. But, yeah, that was cool. Just seeing all those people, just being in that environment. So they had these playable demo areas where you could go in and play, like, all the basically like a PTR, like the new stuff that was coming either in Warcraft and Heroes of the Storm and Diablo. And then right next to that, they had these areas where streamers would get up on there and they'd play the content for everyone. So it's, I don't know. That was cool. That was the first thing I noticed when I walked in. I did go to the HOTS playable demo and they filtered you in, they teamed you up with a couple other people. You got to play a match against each other, try out the new characters. Big changes coming to Heroes of the Storm too. So that was all pretty exciting. Yeah, two new characters, much awaited. We'll get into this stuff right now, I guess, of all the announcements. WoW Classic, Vanilla WoW is coming back, official Blizzard servers.
I read that.
I'm considering getting into that.
I feel like vanilla servers have always existed. Maybe not.
Oh, yeah. Not officially.
Illegally, and Blizzard would try to shut them down. Yeah. And it's, yeah. But now, like, Blizzard is going to officially have vanilla servers. So
I am not interested in playing vanilla WoW. I'm
not ready to go back to your high school flunking out of classes.
Yeah, I'm actually going back to school, so I shouldn't getting back into WoW, not vanilla WoW.
The reason WoW that I'm kind of excited about it is that you, with vanilla WoW, you know, like, there's not going to be an expansion that nullifies all your efforts. Yeah. So if I go play vanilla WoW, I reach level 60, I start doing end game. You know, everything that I accomplish in that game, it's like, I know it's going to stick around. It's not like in 6 months, this expansion is going to come out and I'm going to have to, like, redo everything and keep up with updates. So
once you hit end game, you're good and you're set.
But how hard
in vanilla WoW, it takes a while. Yeah. I mean, leveling from 0 to 60 takes just as long, you know, if not longer than leveling to 0 to 110 these days, I'd think.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So I was really excited about that. Obviously Overwatch was huge. They announced Moira. They announced the new map. Moira's the new character. The new map is Blizzardland. What was the name of that?
Yeah, Blizzardland.
Like Disneyland.
And one that was new to me was Junktown. I guess that's been around. I didn't even know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. World of Warcraft going classic. StarCraft 2 is going to be free to play. That's probably a good move. Get more people playing
good.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be good because StarCraft 2 would be a good pick up and play type of game where you can just grab the type of people that you would want to play the game with and just have them install it and play, get a game or two out of the way.
And the co-op mode in StarCraft is great for people who are new to the game because it limits the units that you can build and you're working with someone else. And me and Flying Hawaiian would play that often. We got to get back to doing that. StarCraft going free to play and then, you know, changes and new heroes coming to Heroes of the Storm. One of the only detail I'll bring up about this, because I don't want to talk a bunch of HOTS, but they're changing the way stealth works, and that was always a problem in the game for new players. New players can't see stealth. Like, it's the same type of stealth that StarCraft had, where there's a shimmer when they move, and it's pretty hard to see, especially if you don't have a very good screen or you know, you're just not used to seeing it. So, you know, you could start a new account, go into games and just stomp people with a stealth character. So they're making them a lot easier to see, but then buffing them in other ways. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, move faster, more buffs.
Yeah.
It's almost like another state of being as opposed to just stealth. Yeah.
So that's the big change. And then also they're making some changes to kind of like make the laning phase more meaningful. Like, it seemed to me when I read those changes that they're going to make it, it's going to make the games go longer, but I don't know if that'll be the case. But even at these panel events that they do where they announce all this stuff, it's not even really worth it to go to those because they're going to take all that information and they're going to boil it down to all the need to know facts and post it on Reddit. And you're going to get all the information you need in like 5 minutes, as opposed to sitting through like an hour long keynote.
So. It's funny though.
By the way, how long were the days at BlizzCon and how many hours did you officially spend there?
First day was like 10 to 7. Yeah, like 9 hours.
And you were there from open till close?
And the second day was like 9 to 7.
Yeah, they were like full days.
No, they closed at like, well, I don't know.
We didn't say for the closing ceremonies, Muse was playing. Yeah, we took off before that. But we were there pretty much the whole day. I mean, we went to the hotel room, kind of a creepy hotel room, but, you know, it sufficed. The fireworks were going off like right as we got there.
This is what happens when you let Bobby in charge of.
Hey, man, it's just a hotel room. It doesn't need to be anything special.
I wanted to make love to you. And
they were out of the hot tub, the heart-shaped hot tubs.
Did you share like a double bed or
No,
so we got back to the hotel room and I was like, it was like 9 o'clock and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. Like I'm super tired and like, I want to be well rested for tomorrow because I know I'm going to be all over the place. And so Emilio went back to the hotel, met up with some friends over there. We ran into Admiral Beef and some of his crew there. So you went over there and then you got home like what, I don't know, like 1 o'clock or something?
It was like 11:30.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I was asleep. I passed right the fuck out.
So at the end of the day, I was like, Bobby, what'd you like the most? He's like, I don't know, man. I'm just blacked out from excitement. And I looked at him, I'm like, you're excited?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, man, I know I don't show up, but like during the fucking esports, they put the camera on him, you know, like the kiss cam, but he's by himself, obviously, because I'm not going to be there. But they pass the key and he's like, what'd you say you look like, Bobby, that you were doing taxes?
Like I was sitting in science class.
Yeah. Just like,
Well, they didn't close up on me or anything like that. I was sitting in a seat in one of the front rows of one of the sections and, they had some technical errors. So they had to pause the game and then they were just going to like people holding up signs in the crowd and shit. And you could see me in a bunch of shots. It was the, I posted it in Discord. But you can see me out there sitting and yeah, I just look like I'm just chilling out.
Just, that's awesome.
Just hanging out.
Just there. Waiting for the show to start.
Let me talk about the vibe. People are fucking super goddamn cool. And it's like anybody is three sentences from being your friend. You could just open up with, hey, is this your first BlizzCon? And then you can talk to that person for 30 minutes and that's every single person you pass, thousands of people, boom, 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 boom. Like, it doesn't matter. It's almost like random. Whichever you have to stand in line, okay, just turn around.
Yeah.
Hey, is this your first BlizzCon? Or
I would say it's pretty easy to make friends at conventions, especially at one where it's a destination convention like BlizzCon, where a lot of people are coming from all different corners of the U.S. or potentially the world. And because of that, too, when I went to BlizzCon, I was actually snuck into BlizzCon when I went, and I was at a streamer house where one of the streamers and her community were all in one house, and I was invited to the house, and basically we all became friends and went to BlizzCon, and we went our separate ways. It's hard to like keep a large group like that together, right. But we would meet up again, and it really felt like going camping, but in a adult video game amusement park, which is
lack of kids.
A lot of
that's
fun.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was kids there, but
not very many of
them. Dude, there wasn't even that many teenagers. It was like definitely 20 and up. for sure.
Yeah, it was an older crowd. And some of the people there were pretty, like, really old, too.
And the majority of the people that I've been here talked to, they were, this is 4+ years in a row that they've gone. So there's something to it. That being said, me not actively playing any of these games definitely took the wind out of my sail. Like, I didn't know where I belonged, really. So I ended up watching a lot of the, well, Overwatch esports, because it's exciting. I find it exciting. But also some of the keynotes on, like, the origins of WoW and, you know, stuff you didn't know and stuff that didn't make it into the game and stuff like that. I found that pretty entertaining. It's like watching a documentary and live. It's like a live documentary. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do these motherfuckers say the same stories every year? Like, that's what I didn't know.
Oh, do they?
I don't know.
I don't think they do, because I've watched, so that you can get the virtual ticket, which is included if you get a real ticket as well, because they understand you're going to go there, you're not going to see everything, you're going to need to catch up on everything that you missed. So the virtual ticket, you can see all this stuff played back, like it was YouTube. And I watched a lot of content from last year with a virtual ticket, and nothing seemed to really overlap between them.
But. Cool. So anyway, awesome, all in all.
That's so cool. Maybe next year I'll be able to come.
I wasn't aware that you had gone to one before, Chi.
We talked about it on the podcast.
I don't remember things.
But yeah, I have been to BlizzCon. It was about 2 years back, and it was a lot of fun. When I went there, obviously I was snuck in, so half the time I was trying
super
to
easy to sneak
avoid,
in, by the way.
Yeah.
Security is not tight there.
Yeah, I was just trying to avoid the badge watchers. I don't know what they're called necessarily, but they will check your badges when you move from one section to the other. The reason why I called BlizzCon almost like an amusement park is because when I went, first off, Overwatch wasn't released officially yet. They had Overwatch statues everywhere, but that was to just tease the game itself.
It was definitely their focus.
Yeah.
This year.
And then, when I got there, everything was segregated, of course, in between if you wanted to watch esports, if you actually wanted to get behind a computer and demo out something, if you wanted to go to isn't there like a mini carnival area where you can interact with certain things? It's where the shops are kind of. No, shops are everywhere. Shops are kind of near the front.
Yeah, they have shops in all
places. But there was this one section where it was where you went and there were different booths set up. And you got to play certain games. That might have been just exclusive to that year.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember seeing anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, when we first got there, we did a lap around the whole place, just saw everything that it had to offer. And there's like an upstairs,
I mean,
a downstairs.
It's not a place. Subtle lap at all. Yeah. You are walking nonstop, I feel like, in that, unless you're waiting in line.
I feel like if you went to you saw the Hearthstone display at anywhere else, you'd be like, holy fucking shit. But there, it was like the most lackluster thing. But, I mean, watch our Instagram. You could see the picture of this trophy and the Hearthstone and everything. It's fucking awesome. Anyway, yeah. We should move on. I think not a lot of people have the opportunity to go to things.
Did you guys
like
miss me while you were at BlizzCon? You think I would have, like, added to the
who,
fun?
Who are you again? Stop. Are you new to the podcast?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, you guys, it was cool. You got to see Chad. I saw that on Instagram. If you guys want to see the photos.
Chad was there.
Go visit us at digital_logic with a K. So digital_logic with a K on Instagram. They posted a whole bunch of videos and photos from BlizzCon.
Yeah, it's definitely fun going as a group, so hopefully next year more of us can go, and even, you know, some more listeners, and we can all meet up there.
We can have a BlizzCon house where we Airbnb it, and then just have like parties and not have Bobby fall asleep at 8 o'clock p.m.
Oh no, that was the best call.
No, that's gonna happen. It's gonna happen regardless.
That was such a good call. I woke up the next morning, I was like, I made the right decision. 100%.
That being said,
woke up feeling like a rock star.
What was it? 9:45. Bobby's like, "Oh my god, dude! Oh Jesus, what a day!" Oh, and I'm like, "What? I still gotta go out. I said I go bang bitches." Oh wait, I'm sorry, Sam.
Well, I woke up in the middle of the night, and then I couldn't get back to sleep because I was so excited for a while, and then I finally went back to sleep and then woke up again. So it was one of those nights, but still, like, I got a good amount of sleep.
Yeah. Now, tell me this. What was the one thing, before we move on, what was the most memorable thing about BlizzCon that you can take with you?
I don't know. See, I think Emilio asked me that while I was there, and I couldn't pick out any one specific event, but I missed the Reinhardt trailer, like watching it live, and I really wish I would have seen that. They had a cinematic trailer for Reinhardt, but what I did catch was when they were presenting the WoW cinematic, Varian and Sylvanas, and I'm not even that involved with Heroes of the Storm, and definitely not its lore, or not Heroes of the Storm, but World of Warcraft. Like, I don't know the lore too well, I don't really play the game anymore, but still watching it, amidst all those other people, like, the feeling was so palpable. Like, you could just feel it in the room, and like, everybody was just so excited. So I don't know, just I kind of wish I would have been there for the opening ceremonies because of that.
Yeah,
definitely the Overwatch esports arena. That was
insane.
So we walked in, we took some pictures, there was games going on, and we were like, okay, let's keep walking. And I'm like, no, I don't want to leave this place. Like, it's so nice. I don't know. It's just very, very pleasant and awesome.
Yeah, we got some pictures of that on Instagram too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that the screens were just, like, they were in a box, like four screens in a square, like above the players' heads. Huge, giant screens. Like, I'd never seen anything like it. Not even at a sporting event. I don't even think I've been to a sporting event that looked like that. It was intense. All right. So let's talk about some other games that we played. I got a little catching up to do. I forgot to talk about Team Fortress 2, the Jungle Inferno update. I played that, and I totally forgot to talk about it last week.
Oh, we played that together, actually.
Yeah, you played some of it with me.
That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed
it. It was good. The new maps are good. I like the new maps.
Are they more jungly?
Yeah, they're kind of jungly.
An annoying amount of water, I think.
Well, the one that we played that was really popular was very well designed. There are these community maps that Valve has approved and like put them into this bundle. And the one that everyone wanted to play had, you had to push your payload, and it was like through this windy kind of spiral area. And at one point, you have to push the payload underwater. So like, it's really bad for pyros. And then you get it out of the underwater part and you push it back up, and it spirals up to the top part, which happens to be right outside the door, the spawn points of both teams. So by the time you get it to that last little stretch, then it just becomes an all-out brawl. Like, people are just pouring their teams into each other. Everyone's dying left and right. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to push the payload onto the tracks, hold there as long as you can until the train comes, hits it, and blows up. It was a really well-designed map. Like,
it was a lot of fun. And yeah. Everybody, what exactly were we trying to unlock?
Well, they give you these quests. They call it contracts, but they're basically quests. And you get this one for free. You get a quest line for free, and that's with the pyro. You know, do all this with the pyro, get so many kills, kill them with this item, and then you get rewards for that. And the pyro one is free, but I spent the $6 and I opened up all the quest lines, and I didn't get very far. I just did the one where I got the hat for the event.
So there's a million people playing pyro?
Yes.
Everybody's playing pyro.
See, that's the problem. You should have just gave one random.
Yeah, it was an issue. And not only that, but people are just like, don't end the game. We need to farm these. And you don't cash out on the points until the game ends. So I reached I finished my quest, but until the game's over, I don't get those points. So that was kind of annoying.
If you haven't played TF2 I know there's young people out there, I guess you haven't played it. I have 957 hours on the engineer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just one person. That's just one character inside of that game.
You played a lot of TF2. I only dabbled in Team Fortress. In fact, the hours collected, not very much.
Coming from Counter-Strike, I bet you were like, this is plebis shit.
No, I like Team Fortress. It's just not Counter-Strike. It's not as try-hard. You go in there, it's very casual.
Very casual, yeah.
But because when you die, there's not and there's not as much team cohesion, even though it is required to really kind of win the game.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun, but winning doesn't feel as rewarding as it does in Counter-Strike, and losing doesn't feel as punishing.
I'll give you that.
As it does in other competitive shooters.
I was disappointed because it was really hard to find a server that had enough people on it to have a good game of, what's the map that I always played? I think it's Gold Rush.
Gold Rush is fantastic.
Is Gold Rush the payload, or is that the...
Yeah, payload.
Okay.
Payload.
Well, that's my second favorite one, but my first favorite one, I think Dust is in the title. It's the one where you have to capture a point, then you move up, and then you capture the next point. Yeah, and then you move on to the next
level. All the way to the missile silo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love those levels. Could not find a good game with enough people playing in there.
That's probably because they were all playing the jungle maps, though, right?
I mean, it could have been, but I haven't played TF2 in so long that maybe people have just moved on to other maps.
Could be.
It kind of sucks that it's just hard to find a good server with a good amount of people playing the map that you want these days with TF2. Like, I ran into that problem.
Probably. We can have our own TF2 server for a month. Like,
yeah, but who's playing TF2?
Us. Yeah. If we make everybody play it.
Are we? If we make everybody play it? If we mandate
Shouldn't you guys be...
That's like...
Cracking the seal in Destiny 2 before doing something like that.
We both have it installed.
Yeah.
And so that's something. Installed.
And it's crazy. TF2, like, what would you think the installation size of that game would be? It's like 15 to 20 gigs. It's a
pretty
lot.
Big. Yeah.
It took a while to download. I remember that specifically. I had it downloading for a while when I saw Bobby playing.
I'll quickly tell Bobby talked about Wolfenstein a lot last week. I'm just going to tell you my ideas on the same game. Shooting is great. The graphics are great. The takeaway for me, though, what sets this apart is the characters. I thought the characters were... It's one of those games... what was it? Predators, I think it was. The movie where Roger Rodriguez did a Predator movie. And he said, I wanted a character where each one of the characters could be the main character. Mm-hmm. And I wanted just a shit ton of them.
That was the one with Adrian Brody, right?
Yeah. And each one of them had so much personality, they could have been the guy who made it to the end. You kind of knew it was going to be Adrian Brody, but it doesn't matter. And I feel the same thing with this. I feel like any one of those guys could be not the same. They wouldn't go about it the same, but they could have their own game. There's so much personality. You have, like, your giant, like, what is it? Hey, you guys.
Sloth from the Goonies.
Yeah, Sloth from the Goonies.
Max Hoss.
But he's actually smart.
Yeah.
In certain ways.
Yeah.
You have your super preppy guy who found a hit of acid or two or three or 100.
Oh, so you did that storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that one too.
How could you not? Oh, if you would have picked the other guy.
Yeah, if I picked the old guy. In the first game, I picked the old guy, and I forgot about that in the second game. So yeah. I wanted to keep it in line with the first game story, but I picked the wrong guy. But I'm happy I did. I think that was the better story. So, yeah, he's like the young army kid, and they don't let onto it right away. But, yeah, you discover that he's getting into drugs and starting to trip out and getting way out there.
You got a super serious black dude, like Afrika Bambaataa type dude. You got the chick that's in charge of everybody, who's another black, like, dynamite motherfucker. And she's got, like, a crew of people.
Oh, yeah, the black revolutionary.
It's fucking awesome.
Big afro.
That, I mean, you can have a great... Okay, so Doom was a great game. It had none of this. And I won't say that Doom was better than this game or this game is better than Doom. But this definitely doesn't make it less than Doom, I'll tell you that. And it's really just adds a ton of character with characters.
Yeah, it's apples and oranges. I mean, Doom was just like, we don't want to bother with story at all. There's very little story. There's like hardly any exposition.
Yeah.
It's like they don't set up anything and they don't care. Like the first scene in Doom is like some guy trying to explain something to you and you just smash the screen. And that's the attitude Doom has throughout the whole game. This, they go for the story and then the tone is very weird. Like sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's serious. It's very like Tarantino, like Pulp Fiction-ish.
I laughed out loud a few times.
Yeah, I think the funniest part of the game for me was when... So the girl from the first game is back in it, the love interest of BJ Blazkowicz, and she's pregnant. She's having twins.
Don't give it away, Bobby, because it's the best one. Is it has something to do with the toilet?
No.
Oh.
No, that that wasn't the funniest part.
That, for me, it was.
Nah, that wasn't the funniest part. The funniest part was when they're talking on comms, and she's just like, she starts saying, like, you know, I think being pregnant, she doesn't come out and say it, but she alludes to it. She's like, it's making me really horny, like she wants to fuck. And then she's like, hey, is this channel clear? Is there anyone else on this line?
I haven't heard this part.
You don't remember? Maybe you haven't seen it yet. And she's like, is anyone else on this channel? And then the black lady with the afro is like, yeah. And then like the other guy's like, yeah, I'm on it too. And then the other dude just like, Max Haas. Because that's all he says. It's just Max Haas. He just says his name. So I don't know. I thought that was the only part where I laughed out loud.
Dude, was Max Haas around before Hodor?
I don't think so, because he was in the first Wolfenstein game, which came out in 2015.
Right. 15?
I stopped watching Game of Thrones. I don't know when Hodor came in.
You might be the only individual in the world who stopped watching.
You don't know Hodor?
No, I know who he is, just from like everybody. Hodor.
You haven't seen him in
this? In like memes and stuff, but
in the actual show, he's in season one.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, but he's not a...
Okay. He's just...
He's a presence.
How have you... Okay, let's move on. I'm going to lose my shit.
He has no idea what Hodor's dick looks like, and everyone knows what Hodor's dick looks like.
Yeah, I don't think I want to know. I'm okay without being privy to that information.
It looks like a whole
really good
door.
Jokes, too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, but yeah, so I ended up beating Wolfenstein 2. Pretty quickly,
really?
Actually. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty
about
cool.
10 hours.
Kind of so, standard for a single-player first-person shooter.
I felt like the first game was longer. Now, this game would be a hell of a lot longer if you did it stealth. You have the option to do stealth or, like, you know, just go in guns blazing. But it's like, you're going to let...
The good old Deus Ex equation.
Yeah, but, like, not as much. I don't think it pushes you towards... stealth. Like, it's totally an option. You can get achievements and you can go down that like talent tree route, but it's like, you, if you allow your player
is
to
like
dual wield machine
Creed?
Guns how
stealth?
So
well, with Assassin's Creed there's a lot of stealth involved, but it's like on off.
No, not like that. I mean, okay, it's that's hard to compare it to Assassin's Creed because that's such a different type of mechanical game.
Well,
different,
I guess,
kind
it
of
is
combat.
A first-person shooter. So
yeah, it's a first-person shooter, and they let you dual-wield shotguns and machine guns, and it's like...
Shooter seems...
I mean, if you can run in dual-wielding machine guns and just, like, hold down the trigger until the clips drop, like, or you can run around, or you can sneak around and, like, throw an axe or cut someone's throat, I mean, what are you going to do, really?
Exactly.
You know, like, what's the obvious route that every player is going to want to take? So I think that's why I
think
got through it so
and
quickly.
Duke Nukem.
Yeah. Bobby, what did you level up as far as your weapons?
Dual-handed machine guns, dual-wielding machine guns.
At first, I thought they all have German names that are really hard to pronounce, so I can't remember. But the assault rifle, not the machine guns,
right,
with the foldable stock.
Right.
I did max out both of those, and depending on the enemy, I used one or the other. And then the shotguns I kind of liked for a while. And then I started doing, like, machine gun one hand, shotgun the other hand. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool, because right and left trigger will shoot each one. So some guys I'm like machine gun, some guys if I get close, finish them with the shotgun. Good combo.
But I went full assault rifle. I put all 3 points into that, and I almost use it exclusively.
Yeah.
Except for if I have heavy weapon available.
Yeah. That one I used a lot until the end of the game. One thing about this, no boss fights, really. There kind of is at the end. There's kind of like when you run into the big dogs, that's kind of one, but like not really like the first one. The first one, there are very distinct boss fights.
But I'm not like, I don't miss it. I noticed it, but I don't miss it.
I kind of miss it. Especially the end game boss in the first one, I really like that.
So before you get on the train, the rocket train, there's that boss. I'd call that a boss, right, Bobby?
Yeah. I mean, it felt like a mini boss.
It was super easy, though.
Yeah, it was not.
I die way more to common.
There was nothing to figure out. You just, you hold down the trigger.
Yeah.
So they did an interesting thing. At the end of this game, there's more playable content. You can, all those commanders that you kill, you pick up those cards.
Yeah.
You can use those to unlock like playable levels. And basically all it is you go back to levels that you've already been to, but with different objectives. You have to assassinate certain commanders.
And is it worth doing?
I haven't even tried to. I don't seems have much like, of an interest. Like, you're just retreading the same ground, so it didn't seem that interesting to me.
Because killing those guys doesn't unlock more HOTS time. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely a downside. But I'm glad they did try to do something like that, and it fits with the story as well, because there's something... Like, the story in the first one is you're at war with Germany, with the Nazis. The Nazis win, and you're trying to fight back. But it's like, you can't really win. They've taken over the world. So this part of the story is like, they've taken over the world, they've taken over America, you're trying to start a revolution in America to get people to rebel, so you have to like make a statement, a very public statement, and the ending's pretty good. You know, I'm alluding to it, but I'm not going to tell you what the ending
is. Yeah, I still don't know what
it's very public. And I kind of laughed with what they did with that. They don't use the exact name of the person, but they kind of allude to someone. And it's not super political. I'm not saying it's like the president or anything like that. It's like a...
Okay, Bobby, you said enough.
Yeah, it's hard to explain it without actually giving it away.
It's hard to involve myself in this conversation with Wolfenstein, never having ever experienced.
You never played the first one?
It's there.
No.
You can play both of them.
It was on sale for $7. It might still be. I think it's... BundleStars.com changed their name to Fanatical, and I think it's on that site.
Ooh, is Fanatic the sponsor?
No, because there's an A in it. So it's either on that site or it's possibly on Humble Bundle where they're selling it. They're having a huge sale, and it was like $6.79 or something like that. For the first game, that is like an incredible deal.
I think we're on Family Share again. Maybe. Almost. No.
Oh, yeah. We still got to do that. So you can play it off of it.
Take a shot, everybody.
Right? And then for me, for my week, I played Destiny 2. That was basically the only game that I got around to. With Destiny 2, the new raid was released, and it's called Leviathan. With this raid, it's actually a whole planet of its own. It's a giant palace. And when you go in, it's just like every other complaint I have about MMOs. There's so much shit to walk through, and there's not enough to do in between the spaces.
Yep.
With this raid particularly, it's a recommended power level of 270. And if you do the weekly challenge, or if you just do the standard milestone questing to get to the raid, you get the most epic of loot. Of course, that's what raiding is. I went in right at almost 270. I was 264. And I beat the raid, and I got my first 305 power level piece, which is actually the maximum power level for any item whatsoever. So for me, it was definitely a well worth it run through. With the raid, I highly recommend playing with people you know, or finding people with microphones. This is the type of thing where it's a first-person shooter, but it's definitely one where you need to do your homework beforehand or play with somebody who knows what they're doing, and you need mics to communicate. If one person doesn't have a microphone, I could see that kind of working out, maybe one or two at most. At least they have to be listening in. But doing this without a microphone, I couldn't really see it happening. So raid, for me, my first playthrough, everyone that I played with, I played with my clanmates, and we picked up two randoms that we actually sourced from a website. We didn't just find them in the game. We sourced them from a website. And when we went through the raid, it took me 2 hours, and that was with actually quite a few wipes. And the raid itself, you can either go through the entire raid. There's five different sections. Or you could just go in there, complete a section, get the loot or particular item from that certain section, and then you could reset the raid and do it all over again. So it's some of the sections don't even have boss fights. A lot of it is puzzles. Maneuvering. And there's definitely a pattern to each and everything. And I feel like there's only one good strategy to all of these fights. I feel like a lot of these fights are, you know, you have to do it in this certain element or this certain play style. Otherwise, good luck trying to figure it out. Like, trying to blind play through this, it would be impossible, I feel like.
That's probably why it took you so long the first time. You could probably do it in half the time next time.
I think the shortest time to get through a complete raid is an hour, hour and a half. And for me, considering the number of wipes that we had, half of them were actually bugs, when we would wipe, the boss wouldn't respond, half the people wouldn't respond. So it was kind of just working through the kinks all the same.
Which is, what the
But other than that, since I was the only one that was new to the raid, they would explain to me how to do it, and then we'd attempt it. I did get a couple first attempts, but then most of the time we wiped it once, if not twice. So when you're going through this raid, you're probably thinking, okay, so you're maneuvering through this giant palace and there's trash mobs that you have to kill, as you're moving through. The awkward thing about, for me, never playing any Destiny raids before previously, this is my first Destiny raid experience ever, you go in and you have to unlock these different sections, as I mentioned, and when you're trying to unlock a section, you're basically doing a survival wave, and you're grabbing these keys, and you're...
each person individually, it looks like?
I'm sorry?
Like each person individually has to do this in the corner?
No, but what we're watching on the screen right now is the first boss, essentially. Okay. Even though there's not a real boss, it's just maneuvering and killing adds and elites that spawn.
And that's why you need communication.
Yes, that's why you need microphones. You need microphones, and you need to be with somebody who's done their research. Hmm. Blind playthroughs on a raid would not work out. And I've heard people who have attempted blind playthroughs. It's just that they don't really set it up to kind of... be able to figure it out unless you're raid wiping again and again and again. It's not your traditional MMO raid where you're just learning the patterns of the bosses. This one here, the entire environment is involved in the boss fight. For instance, there's a part where you're basically playing Metal Gear Solid. You're collecting spores to deal additional damage. And when you're collecting these spores, you're running around trying to avoid alerting the dogs, and there's really no real boss, per se. So it's a lot of maneuvering, and it was a lot of fun, but I definitely wouldn't recommend doing it with strangers.
Hmm. That makes the game sound a lot more appealing to me than what we've been saying about it the last couple weeks.
Because getting up to that point, it's mostly a super easy campaign. And a lot of grinding public events and doing weekly milestones. But the raid here, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it a lot. And you play MMOs for raiding. So I would say they did it well. For an FPS, they did it really well. It's fun.
Yeah. It's unfortunate to hear about the bugs, but that does sound good.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll work through it.
Yeah. That all gets fixed in time.
I wouldn't mind longer raids too. I imagine like once everybody gets used to burning through this raid, it's going to be almost feels like a dungeon. So at that point, I would be asking for another one.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more thing about the raid that is extremely different. A lot of the chests and a lot of the special loot that you obtain, it's not related to the actual boss fights. There are actual mazes and puzzles that you have to figure out. You're running through this palace, which has an entire underbelly system where you're running through the vents, you're doing crawl spaces, you're pulling levers. It's a giant puzzle.
It almost sounds like you were all playing Half-Life 2 separately, but together. Like it has all the same shit. Like it has single player elements in the raid, right? Kind of?
Essentially, but with single player, it was a little bit more simple. With single player, there wasn't really any puzzles. It was just, you know, run past the trash mobs, clear out a wave, and then destroy the dungeon boss.
Can Bobby and
Whereas
I play the...
raiding, it's a lot more maneuvering and team cohesion.
Can Bobby and I play the campaign together?
Yes, totally.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
You could run through it and beat it in a day. Do what I did. One good sit down.
In 2 weeks, I'll have a week off, and I think that's going to be the time that I'm going to really grind through that. Because I just haven't had a large chunk of time where I've been able to get through it.
And you were mentioning that you need to play Destiny 2, and I said it'll be easy to catch up. As much as I'm experiencing of the game, I am not investing as much time as I thought I would need to invest. So for a casual gamer, this is a good MMO right now to pick up.
Cool. And don't forget to leave a review for your chance to win a copy.
Yeah, on our iTunes.
Hey. All right, kids, moving on.
We don't have a whole lot of news outside of BlizzCon. We do have one piece here that Pharaoh Steven mentioned in Discord. This is coming from, Steamed is a...
Kotaku.
It's part of Kotaku, but yeah. Steamed is... It's something Chad would often talk about, where it's just all Steam news.
Who?
Exactly. And this particular article talks about the most expensive things on Steam. Now, I've noticed some really high-priced or high-tag items that were just didn't make any sense that they would be so expensive, but they list some interesting things. Like, the single most expensive thing on Steam is the Stratospaces VR Professional Edition upgrade. And this is some sort of... It's $1,000 about, and it's a... some sort of software that allows you to create or model things in VR.
Yeah, so you can make games in VR, or at least modify your games in VR. It seems like an engine you can run to try to make a VR game.
Yeah, I imagine not a lot of people are buying that. Not a lot of takers on that. They list the most expensive things in several different categories. Most expensive art book, most expensive custom character, most expensive game bundle. Nothing in here really stands out all that much.
I thought the custom character on RimWorld is kind of interesting, especially if you're into that game. It costs $470 bucks. But you get your own character inside the game, built however you want. And I think other people can upload that character. Like, it'll be one of the custom characters that you can make.
But that's why I play The Sims. I get to upload my own, fantasy reality into a video game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For free. Well, after you buy the game, right?
Yeah.
The most expensive DLC, if you buy it all at once, is Train Simulator's DLC. And I've known this for a while. Train Simulator, I actually have some of the DLC there. It's like playing with a train set, but in a computer game. It kind of loses some of the charm. I think I have like the holiday Christmas one. But they do have, for one of these train, there's multiple Train Simulator games. There's like Train Simulator and then one that has a similar name. But there's one that is the coastliner that goes from San Diego to, somewhere else. But I've always wanted to give that one. Or get that one just
That's
to see
cool.
how it looked.
You're the only person.
Yeah, I'm the only person ever that would buy that.
Well, speaking of trains, that new movie is coming out that I'm going to watch for my birthday.
Training Day?
It's the clue-looking Murder in the Orient Express. I hope it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, have you seen the original?
There's an original? I didn't know that.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, the
millennial in the house.
It sounds like a spoiler alert if I try to watch.
They'll
the
probably
original.
Change.
Speaking of things I've been watching, if I haven't been gaming, it's because I've been binge watching Stranger Things 2.
Yeah. God, I got to get
to that. Started yet.
You guys so haven't
busy.
Started it?
No. Oh my God, somebody in
All I can say, the best thing about that season, I like it, but I don't love it. And
did you like the first one?
The
more?
Only thing, and Bob made the season for me. I know you don't know who Bob is. Okay. You don't
but
know who
do
Bob
think,
is.
Do you like the first one better than the second?
The first season?
Yeah, I like the first one better than the second.
Okay, because I have heard more vice versa than that. But who knows?
And there is just a trash episode. And when you get to it, you'll understand me. But there was just
one
episode that was completely
One specific plot point has already been spoiled for me by someone holding up a sign at BlizzCon when the camera was on him. So
okay, doesn't matter.
Was it Bob related?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I will eventually watch that. We'll see.
So going into hardware, I got the Pixel 2 XL. If you weren't listening 2 weeks ago, the only reason I ordered it was because Sam was getting the Pixel 2. I wasn't going to be outdone by my arch nemesis, my lady friend. So I ordered the Pixel 2 XL. Hardware-wise, it doesn't differ from the Pixel 1, or Pixel 2, I mean. Unlike other phones, you don't get much more out of the XL except for the bigger screen and maybe a little more battery. Besides that, they both do the same wonderful, magical things. Weird things about the Pixel 2 was you can squeeze the phone and it'll go right over to your assistant. And I use my assistant a lot. So it wasn't something I thought I was going to use a lot, but actually, it's the fastest way to access your
Do you
guan.
Squeeze it like the sides? Or
yeah, the sides.
Like a plate where it's...
No, like the sides.
The sides.
There's no button. You just kind of like you grab your phone as you would near, but then grab it a little tighter than you would actually, and it goes right to your assistant.
So you don't have to take your phone out of standby,
correct?
Swipe your passcode and then hit the Google Assistant button.
Correct. Or say, okay, Google.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay, Google is really, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it's hard to say.
It's hard to say. Apparently there's now, hey, Google, but mm-hmm. still, it's still not, is you can just squeeze the phone. It goes right to
voice
the assistant,
command.
And you can, which I use. I'm that douchebag. I'm the guy that like texts people with their voice. I'm that guy. And I, make an appointment for 9 a.m. And then if there's a lot of people around, I'll be like, for definitely blowjobs. Like, I'm that guy. It sucks, but I am that guy. Anyway, what I like so much more about like the iPhone X is you get your iPhone X out, right? And you pick it up and you look at it and then it unlocks and then you do what you need to do. Literally, by the time I already have this thing, bad boy, out of my pocket, it's already unlocked and ready to rock and I'm ready to talk to it. So enjoying that. Pictures seem to be fantastic. I'm really happy with that. The portrait mode is really easy to use. Apparently, Google said we don't need two cameras to get portraits. We can do it with wonderful magic, wizard magic that we do over at Google. And that's what they've been doing. And that's why it's called the Pixel 2. Apparently there's two pixels in each pixel, whatever that means. Somehow you end up with blurry backgrounds and clear foregrounds. And so the pictures are great. Besides that, battery life is fan-fucking-tastic. It doesn't charge as fast as the old one, but then again, I had an old Pixel 1, so without the XL. So
is it a Type C charger?
It is, and it'll last 2 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah, on one charge.
You know, I saw at BlizzCon these cell phone charging stations that I had never seen before. Maybe this is like a common thing now, but they're like these little lockers that have a code, and you put your phone in there, and there's a little charger inside the box. You shut the little door, like a little mail room, you know, if you live in an apartment complex, and then you punch in the code, and then you let it charge for half an hour. You come back later, and you get it out.
Is it just like a
device.
Gym locker?
Yeah, like a gym
you
locker.
You create your own code?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you don't have to pay.
Yeah, you don't have to pay. Energy, you just put your phone in there and charge. Amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, the one thing I noticed about the Pixel 2 is the screen size is a big deal to me. So it's 0.3 inches bigger than the phone that I currently have right now. But a lot of these new phones, the extra size is coming from the width of the phone. Not the width, but they're taller. They're taller. So when I watched a YouTube video on the Pixel 2, there's black bars on the side. It doesn't really full screen go right to the edges. And it actually is the same exact, like watching a YouTube video on a Pixel 2 XL and on my phone, the video is actually the same size. So I was a little disappointed in that, but I'll probably still end up getting one of these at some point.
That would disappoint me too.
And the other thing,
it's the same thing on all the other phones.
My phone. Yeah.
Like they aren't making phones any wider. So, you know, you're just going to get more length out of it.
That's all the ladies want.
Dude. Yeah. It's really hard to like talk about that without making it sound like a dick, but,
and the other thing is it has two sets of front facing speakers.
That is nice.
It's pretty rare. Most of the phones put them on the bottom of the phone or the top. This is like facing you as you watch YouTube videos, which is really nice. And it's really loud without getting too tinny. It almost sounds, I won't say it sounds like a stream box, something that you would Bluetooth out of to play, because some of those are really rich and bassy. But it's getting to those audio levels. Like, it's pretty fucking good. Most situations,
I
wouldn't need one.
My HTC Harman Kardon phone did that. Mm-hmm. My HTC One. Three phone generations before had the double speakers.
On the top and bottom.
On the facing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a rare
It makes
thing.
A world of a difference. My current HTC doesn't have it, which was the most obnoxious tweak to me being an HTC user, all the noise comes out through the bottom where I speak into, so it's very awkward.
Yeah, well, that's how iPhones are too. The speakers, well, the last iPhone I owned was a 4S, I think, so I don't know if it's changed, but the sound would come out of the bottom, and iPhones have very weak speakers. Like, I remember I always had iPhones for years and years, and then someone busted out their Android whatever, and I was like, holy shit, that thing's loud. Like, I couldn't believe it.
We have a new listener question. This just in. Epic try hard face says, how does the Pixel know that you're the one squeezing it? Hashtag strong as fuck, dude. That's how. No, I don't know. It just kind of knows.
So if anyone squeezed your phone, then it would just, the Google Assistant would come
up. If it's been too long, it will make you tap the back.
Okay. For the fingerprint scanner,
which is on
the
back.
Here's the thing. Actually, my smartphone has this feature, and I'm not sure if it's just across newer versions of Android or if it's a Google feature, but my feature has a owner detection where it can tell when you're the owner still using it. It's been in your back pocket and it can tell that you're still using your own phone versus you putting it down and somebody else picking it up.
Oh.
I don't know how it does it. I don't know the intricacies of it.
Fairies,
but
in
I
your
do
phone?
Know
that sounds like magic.
I do know that it exists on the phone, and I think it's almost like a pattern.
Recognition.
And I don't use it on my phone. I don't care. I don't even have a password on my phone. That's
horrible.
Yeah,
I haven't locked my screen in a long time.
I used to be really bad with cell phones, and when I was a younger chi, was really bad with purses. I would always lose my purse or have it stolen because I was just leaving it out. Thankfully, little chi didn't have much to lose back then. But it was very annoying. I would always get my purses stolen, or I would just lose them and forget where they were. And so I just stopped using purses. And every now and then, you guys probably notice that too. But with my cell phone, I never really would lose my cell phone because I kind of got in the habit of always having it close to me like a wallet. I don't put my wallet in it's too big for a pocket, but I am so on top of keeping track of my phone because I've lost so many purses that I can't let my phone or my wallet slip away from me again. So I kind of learned the hard way to not ever, that's why I don't set a passcode on my phone, because I never have to worry about my phone getting stolen because it's never happened. And I know, and to me, convenience is key, and I hate having to put in a passcode.
Yeah, every single time is a little much.
1 or 2 seconds. It's just that it's so annoying. Like already, if your phone's being slow to start up, or if it's having a hard time with a connection, like I feel like there's going to be more time just wasted. So
the Pixel 1 had this, and the Pixel 2 does have this as well. Is it knows when I'm home, and it'll just unlock it.
Oh,
it's
it's a GPS thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Except for my super jealous girlfriend that wants to check out my phone.
Does she do that?
She probably does when I'm in the shower or jacking off or having sex with somebody in the next room.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Next little bit of hardware. I guess we'll bring this up. So apparently Intel and AMD are teaming up to create a processor.
What I gather from this, it's for the mobile devices, right, Bobby?
It looks like this is going to be in laptops.
Yeah. This is not like they're going to come out with the new best thing ever. This is just kind of like...
It's not intended to be like really high-end. I mean, maybe for laptops, it's supposed to help with like...
integrated graphics.
Gaming needs and VR, yeah. And I kind of wish maybe they will come out with a desktop version of this, because the APUs, I always bring this up, but the APUs that AMD made where it was just like half processor, half graphics card right on a CPU, those are so great for media centers. I mean, you can do light gaming on it, like enough gaming on it, and they're just perfect for that type of need. But this is apparently Intel and AMD are teaming up to create this chip. It's going to be in laptops, supposedly should help out if you want to run VR on your laptop.
That'd be maybe a good laptop for our new studio. Check out our Patreon at something or other.
Something or other, yep. That's it. Yeah, but interesting article there. It's on a bunch of sites. I guess let's get to some listener feedback. We don't have much this week.
Yeah, what the fuck, guys? You got, like, we come here every fucking week.
Well, we did hit them late on a Monday. We didn't even say anything, like, hey,
this is all week,
questions?
Though. Yeah. Anytime you have a question, you're like, you listen to this, and you're like, hey, I really wonder if Bobby has crabs. You just go to our Discord, which you can find at dlgaming.net. There's a link there that always works. And then go to listener questions.
Oh, wait. Here's a listener question from Captain Save a Podcast. What kind of BlizzCon loot did you bring back?
I was really impressed. So the very first 5 minutes we were there, we got a backpack. Like, not a shitty backpack.
Yeah.
Well, and then said backpack was filled with stickers.
Candy?
Not stickers.
Did they have warheads in there? I love it when they put sour gummies.
I need you to calm down. There's no candy. There's no candy.
Really?
I will buy you candy.
There were a bunch of little toys, decorative toys. They had like a keychain. They had a pin. They had these Velcro stickers that went on your Velcro backpack. And as you walked around to different things.
Yeah, it's half the thing is about Velcro.
Yeah, half the backpack, the back of the backpack is Velcro. So you slap these Velcro badges on it. And then when you walk around and you do like the Diablo demo table, like when you leave there, they give you another Velcro badge. And so you'd see people walking around. And as the day went on, people would collect more and more of these. Some people made it a point to do all the different things and get all the different badges. I just kind of kept with the standard ones. But it was a nice backpack. And there was like a little like bobblehead. Which guy did I get? I got Lucio.
Oh, that's cute.
No, that's
wait. When you talk about the bobbleheads, are you talking about those really cute?
No, it wasn't
ones?
A bobblehead. It was like a plastic little toy. Like it stood up.
It's almost like
stand.
A pop.
Yeah, those little. That's what I was referencing.
The pop things.
God damn it! I can't think of what it's called. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. Somebody move on. I'm drunk.
Yeah, but the loot was good. I was impressed. They sell it on the Blizzard store for $45. You can buy this, apparently.
Gee, did you check out our Instagram on that day? It's okay if you
did. I was looking at the stores. It was a lot of fun. I wanted to be at BlizzCon, but I had to enjoy it vicariously through social media. So.
What do you think about us buying that statue?
I didn't know. I said no. I said, why would you spend...
$450.
For $450, we should probably reinvest it in VR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see
the comment my sister made on Instagram?
It was sick, though.
Yeah. So apparently there was this life-size model of D.Va.
And it wasn't life-size.
Is your sister watching our Instagram?
Yeah, my sister.
Oh my god,
sister,
I gotta be so much more sexy.
Yeah, my sister licks a lot of our podcast stuff, and I love it. And I love that she supports. She's not a gamer, but she supports my streams and everything else. So when she saw it, she's like, $450, just take a picture of it and turn it into a poster for $450 instead. So that was her response to it. I liked it, but I think it would be that money should be invested into something that isn't just like a glorified, I don't know, cum dumpster.
Gee.
What?
Fuck, marry, kill.
Oh.
Lucio Arthas Reinhardt. I don't know who Arthas is.
Arthas? You don't know who Arthas is?
No. Arthas is that Night King, isn't he?
Yep, that's him. He's the Night King.
Don't be shitty, Bobby. We're trying to get through a segment.
He's the Lich King. He's kind of a big deal.
But sorry, that's what I meant. So
I'm like the nerd over here. Like, you guys don't know who Arthas is? Oh, my God.
Worst podcast ever.
I would probably I don't know. So... See, okay, the first thing, I'm trying to decide who I want to fuck first. And Arthas, he's an undead dude. He probably doesn't
kill
have a dick.
Arthas.
Reinhardt is huge, but he's also
dead.
Old. And then Lucio.
Well, what about young Reinhardt
like
from the cinematic
Lucio
trailer?
Lucio just isn't sexy to me. He's not.
But you have to marry Lucio.
I would probably marry Lucio.
He'd be a good husband,
you're right.
Yeah.
I would marry Lucio, kill Arthas, and fuck Reinhardt.
Fuck Reinhardt, yeah. Tracer Kerrigan Mercy. So Tracer's a lesbian. She's not going to enjoy it, but I'm going to give it to her anyway. Kerrigan is like covered in rot.
I love Kerrigan.
She's smoke show. She's so hot.
She's my little blizzard B-nut. My B-nut icon. You know how you could set a B-nut icon now? Yeah. Kerrigan's my B-nut icon.
I'll kill Kerrigan, put her out of her misery, fuck Tracer, and marry Mercy.
Yeah, I think you got to marry Mercy.
Because she seems like blonde, you racist, fascist fuck.
No, because she seems like, she's got the medical shit going on. She's a doctor. She's a doctor. Yeah, you got to marry that. You got to lock that down.
Like a doctor.
Probably kill Tracer. Fuck Kerrigan. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah. Kerrigan fuck would be good.
Yeah. All right. So, Pharaoh Steve has a listener question. What's the game you regret buying the most? Like a game you pre-ordered because you were so hyped, but it ended up being disappointing. Any games like that?
Well, you read this previously, so you go first.
Oh, God.
So many.
I'm trying to think of, like, what is the ultimate case of that? I don't know. There's a lot of little games, but, like, one really big game that I was really, really excited for and then just utterly disappointed. That doesn't really happen to me anymore. Like I know myself very well. I know games. I know how they try to market them, and I know what I'm getting into. It's very difficult to fool me these days. Very rarely will I buy a game and be disappointed. Like maybe I guess I have to go with the first Dead Island, even though I actually kind of like that game. It did have a lot of problems in the end game.
I thought it was fun.
But I really saw, like, I saw the trailers. I talked to my friends about it. I'm like, this is the next big thing, guys. We're all going to be playing this game forever.
And Bobby was on a hype train?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it happens. Wow. I get on hype trains. I pre-purchase games, even though they say you're not supposed to.
New listener question just in. Wakoni says, what did I miss? I would say a very mediocre podcast. That's what you missed.
It wasn't mediocre. We talked about BlizzCon. That was a lot of fun. And as for the listener question, what game do I regret buying the most? It's probably not the number one game that I regret buying, but I do remember it disappointing me, was Dragon Age 2. I played Dragon Age, the first one, Inquisition, or no, that's the third one, sorry. I played the first Dragon Age, loved it, loved the combat and everything else. And when they came out with Dragon Age 2, they changed the formula so much, and the story was lackluster compared to the first one, that I never ended up beating Dragon Age 2. Or maybe I did, and if I did, I already forgot what happened. No, I didn't beat it. No, maybe I did. That's the thing. It's not memorable. And I was really upset with Dragon Age 2 when I was riding that hype train for a while, and when I played it, I was like, no. Mm-mm.
I'm going to have to agree with... So, Dragon Age Inquisition, is that the one you're talking about?
Jay? I think that's the third one. One moment.
No, I don't
or
think
is that
it
the first?
Is.
Dragon Age Origins is the first one, I'm sorry, and Inquisition is the third one. And the third one was under-impressive, too, compared
to... Yes, I didn't like Inquisition. I think it's going to have to come up every episode now, but Escape from Tarkov.
Yeah.
Like, I expected amazing graphics, amazing gunplay, and I got neither one. Although I did get interesting way of playing a game, I guess. Like, it took us three episodes to flesh it out, and we still don't know what it is.
It feels very early access, certainly.
That's when we got to check back in at some point in time.
Yeah.
But I would second that. That was I was never really too hyped for that one.
Especially when we couldn't play together the first two minutes.
Yeah.
Of the game.
Well, I can never play with you guys. Well, maybe now, since you can, like, switch factions. But you got a good point about sequels, like Dragon Age 2. Like, that would be the only way they get me. Like, a sequel comes out, and I'm like, oh, yes, love the first one, gonna love the second one. Like, I'm sure that's happened more than once to me.
Now, with the Wolfenstein, though, like, I don't know. It's almost exactly the same game.
Yeah, yeah. It's very similar, and it almost diminished my experience, but only a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times, I just can't play it. XCOM 2, can't play it. Just, I don't want to do that again. Loved XCOM 1. I just don't want to play it again.
If I started, I would
get into it, but, you know, Wolfenstein 2, pre-purchased it. played it, loved it. Loved it a little less than I did the first one, just because the first one was so fresh and new. But yeah, that's just sequels, man.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, was it funny, guys? I almost just used my mic stand as a pillow. I'm tired. Everybody's tired. But we made it. We got it through this.
We did it.
Chi, you have any final words?
Yeah, never drink iced alcoholic drink out of an aluminum can ever again. Because all I heard was like clink, 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 yep. clink. I'm like, Amelia, that is so loud.
It was loud. I apologize. Bobby, you have any last words? Go to BlizzCon. No.
But what are we going to be playing next week?
You know what? People have talked about a DLG con, but why wouldn't we just incorporate our con into a...
Yeah, well, a lot of podcasts do like meetups at these conventions.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe. If enough people, but BlizzCon's a tough thing to get into though. Like,
no, you have to do it officially, man. Mm. Just a street corner. That's all we need.
Yep.
Street corner, food truck,
just a dark alley.
I think a meetup would be a lot of fun, like an official meetup.
Yeah, I mean, individual people are flying out just to meet. I mean, I'm pretty fantastic. I think that's where they're coming out, but. I mean, you know, some of the crew.
Pajama party.
Yep.
All right. When are we streaming? Man, I have not streamed in a long time. I got to get back on that. Once I get a haircut, which is going to be happening soon here.
Yeah, actually, for my birthday, what I asked for my birthday is a new hairdo. So maybe after my new Uh-oh. Hair, I'll
sure I'll turn
crazy. What do you mean?
Gee, you have long, straight hair. There's not much you can.
No, I'm not
long
gonna,
or short.
I'm not gonna go tracer with my hair. I'm just gonna dye it up a little and maybe. Okay. Trim
oh, dye
it.
Is good.
Yeah.
I really color. Like blues with like really dark hair.
I'm not gonna go with blue. That's a little no.
All right. Well, whatever.
Shut that right
now. Well, I'm not gonna buy that.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll start playing some Destiny 2 next week. We'll see. What about you guys? What
I
are
think you guys
into?
Should play Destiny 2 and play with me, and I'll help you out. And then we can raid together.
Yeah.
And maybe actually play a game together.
I just
got to
plow through that campaign.
It's not hard at all. At all. In fact, I can probably
That's kind of why I don't want to do it, though. It's just like, I don't know. It seems like something I just got to plow through just mindlessly. So I don't know. But I'll do it. I'll do it for the team so we can all play together.
All right. So a suggestion from one of our characters or... listeners was I go through all the subsequential titties throughout all video game history in their graphical substrate. So I mean the first
oh guys I might have a special request.
Sure.
Especially since someone asked when are we going to stream again, can I have a birthday stream or like a birthday podcast stream?
My When's birthday's your
birthday? On the 16th.
No.
No,
yeah, I'm we're just not gonna. Kidding.
Well, first off, we can't do it at Bobby's because his lights don't even work. I don't know if we'll have the studio set up by then. So maybe not. Maybe I'm just like, we could all cram into my tiny studio, but I would rather not.
16th of this month.
Yes.
Oh, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Not the studio.
10 anyway. Days from today.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby.
Yeah.
What was the first titties you ever seen on video games?
Like Duke Nukem. Bare breasts.
No, just titties that you noticed.
Duke Nukem tits.
No, maybe Metroid?
Yeah, like if you beat the game didn't
right?
she... Is that Super Metroid or the first Metroid?
That was first Metroid. She
not naked titties.
No, if you beat it under a certain notice. Amount of time, then she's in like a swimsuit. Like a
Princess Peach?
Yeah.
Didn't really have titties. Hips for days, not titties.
Yeah.
We're going to go with Samus Aran tits, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to sign out. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Chi. Sorry I was late. Love everybody. Need more Patreons. Goodbye.